I'm ready to party. This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
That was a fun show.
Certainly doesn't sound like it from your angle. Yeah.
No, it was. It totally was. We had some fun stories today. Oh, I forgot to say, with that last break we did about the cubby house, I was going to put the video up of it on our Instagram, and I forgot to say that on air. Shame on me. Shame on me.
Do you want me to post this to our
post Insta. Okay. We're posting really funny stuff at the moment.
Just guys. So funny.
I mean, you know that show that you're loving on Netflix right now?
Tiger King.
Yeah.
I finished it, though. I finished it last week.
So every day I see a meme that makes me think, yeah, I need to watch that. Yesterday someone put one up that was like, my 2020 vibe as told by Tiger King. And it was the woman sitting at her computer saying, oh, no, I just got an email.
I finished the whole series.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great, finally.
All right, hold on. Here's today's show. We'll chat about it in a sec.
Those two girls.
Hello.
Good morning.
Oh, hi.
Here we are.
Hey there.
We've made it through the wilderness another day. Isn't Malaysia in the poo at the moment?
Can you fill me in on this story?
Yeah. So the Malaysian government issued coronavirus lockdown advice that I suppose was delivered in an attempt to help relationships be better in quarantine. But it's all on the women to manage their behaviour. Basically, they were encouraging women to dress up at home.
Put on
some makeup and look nice for your husbands, and also to avoid nagging them. And if you do speak to your husband, speak in the voice of a very popular cartoon cat.
That's on telly over there. Do we know what this cartoon cat sounds like? Because I'm pretty sure Dane would love that.
It's a Japanese cat. So I can only imagine it's not unlike the Peppa Pig of Malaysia.
And men like that. The men of Malaysia dig it.
I don't know. It says avoid nagging your husband and inject humour by using a voice similar to the anime character Doraemon, a blue robot cat. Popular across Asia.
This is not actual government.
From what I understand,
documentation.
You know, like when you're driving around right now doing essential things, how there's like bus shelter ads that say here's what social distancing is.
Like wash your hands.
Yes.
From what I understand, that they're up like
they're
that.
Up. Yeah. It's
like
that...
speak like a blue robot cat. So I tried it with Wills last night.
And?
We're no longer speaking. So it's a happy outcome for everyone.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Lee, did you just try and turn your own microphone on?
Yes, I did, Scott.
How hard in this economic climate are you working to get rid of me?
It's so difficult. But look, guys, I've got the best feel-good story for you. It's about a dog.
Oh,
get excited.
Of course.
Get excited. And it's about a working dog, a dog that helps people in these tough times when we do have to work together to get through these very long days. So let me introduce you to a very good boy named Sunny. Sunny is a golden retriever.
He's a good boy.
Now, he lives in Colorado and he belongs to a woman called, it's a strange name, work with me, Elivith. Never heard it before, but I don't mind it.
I don't mind it either.
Elivith.
Right? It's kind of like, you know, you've got to take Elivith, the supplement,
it is a bit like
supplement
that.
When you're pregnant.
Yeah, it reminds me.
Adif on it.
Yeah, Elivith. Right, so Elivith has been friends with her elderly neighbour for years, for over a decade. Now, this elderly neighbour has quite significant upper respiratory issues, dangerous
at
in
risk.
This day and age. Yeah. Very at risk. She's in her 80s. She's ticking all the box for danger zone. Now, she didn't want to leave her elderly neighbour alone in this time, but obviously she's maintaining the social distancing well and truly, so she thought, how can I help here? She sent Sunny over with a note attached to his collar, saying, can we help with your groceries? So this is how the delivery system now operates. They've been doing this for weeks.
Wow.
Sunny trots over of a morning.
Yeah.
Maybe it's every couple of days. The elderly neighbour attaches her shopping list. Sunny trots back over to Elizabeth.
Yes.
They go do the shopping. He delivers the groceries in his mouth. He holds the bag, Sarah.
Wow.
Trots holding a bag of groceries. And the elderly neighbour is like, this is getting me through, not only because I'm getting food. But also because it's just that connection, right? And because animals can't transmit the COVID, we're all good.
But I think there are two sides here. There are really useful dogs and pets, and then there are completely useless ones. So last night I was sitting out on my balcony having a cuppa, and I heard somebody walking down my street saying, "Frank, if you don't rectify your behaviour, we will not be coming out for an evening walk again. I've called you back here twice now." And I was expecting Frank to be a toddler. No, Frank was a beagle. Frank was a beagle, just happy as Larry, following his nose to all the little trees that all the other neighbourhood dogs had weed
because
on.
Here's the thing. Dogs in this time of corona are either living it up because their owners are home all day long.
Yeah, totally. The true winners.
Or they're just, will you stop walking me?
Yeah.
I'm done here. Every member of the family has taken me for a walk.
It's either their time to shine or their time to just take up more food resources.
Can we just limit this down a little bit? So dogs are either loving it or your particular dog is sick of being walked by every member of the family.
No, I was just going to say that my beautiful Great Dane Minnie, the laziest creature on this planet, she's actually shown us her best side. Do you know that we've trained her to tow our youngest boy on the scooter? So she's got her lead on. We hook the handle of her lead over Max's handlebars and off they go. We walk down to the shop.
Lee calls that PE in homeschooling.
I go, mush, mush, and off we go.
Can we ask if people are listening?
Yes.
If they're dogs or cats?
Let's do this. Our corona cooey this morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are we doing as our corona cooey this morning?
We want to hear from our listeners on 13 10 60. Is your dog useful or useless in this corona pandemic?
Okay. All right. But there'd be people whose cats are sleeping on their keyboard as well while they're trying to work from home.
Sure, look, we'll take any animal. Yeah. I don't know how useful a cat is going to be to you.
No, I've got a cat and she's awful.
Sarah's just waiting for her cat to die. Like, let's be honest here.
Wow.
She does nothing. She comes inside to use her litter box. Then she goes back outside. We bring her back inside at night and then she just goes to the garage. She doesn't even want to interact with the family.
I'm with Scott.
I would like her to sit on my lap and pat me. But it's a love-hate relationship.
She hates you.
Yeah, with mostly hate. The big grocery stores have been trying their best when it comes to protecting people from germs. But I think they could try harder. I mean, sure, we've got trolley wipes, mm-hmm. we've got sanitizer, cashless purchases. You know, there are store greeters sanitizing shopping baskets and trolleys. They've even closed self-service checkouts. But there's one glaringly obvious thing that's missing. And I felt persecuted yesterday when I went into the red shop and I was walking down.
I personally prefer the green shop.
Is the other one blue? Can we say the other one's blue or gold?
The other one would be blue.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Okay. I was walking down the aisle and there were people coming the opposite way who were wearing masks and they looked at me with scorn because nobody could maintain the 1.5 metre distance.
I mean, even if you glue yourself to the pinto beans and they're gluing themselves to the tortilla shells.
I would have had my bum in the kombucha. That's the section of the shop I was deep in.
Did you look back at them while they were staring at you and just put your elbow up to your mouth and go...
No, I won't partake in that germ warfare,
But
Scott.
You're right. There is no way in a supermarket aisle to maintain that distance when you're crossing someone.
I tell you what, Foodland in South Australia has said, hold my beer.
What colour are they?
Hold my sanitizer.
Hold my Corona.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But they are implementing one-way arrows down the aisles. Now, if this isn't a stroke of obvious genius that we all need to follow, I don't know what is. So, of course, everyone can go up and down every single aisle that they want to, but it's like IKEA. There is a pattern, okay? There is no going backwards. You screw with the flow.
You're out.
You're out. All right. One-way arrows.
I love this because I do feel at risk. I'm going to admit something that I do, and I know it is ridiculous, but be honest and tell me if you've done it too. When you pass someone in close-ish proximity, when you have no choice, like we're talking about, do you hold your breath? Have you held your breath in these corona times?
No.
No.
You haven't instinctively, when they're too close, just sucked in the big ones and then held it?
I think I give that weird little smile where you kind of retract your lips into your teeth and...
So you're shutting off all your orify?
I don't think orify is the plural for orifices. Well, that's like I read last night that you're supposed to be wary of runners because runners are...
Yes, I listened to CoronaCast yesterday. They were talking just about that when runners go past, not only are they flicking sort of sweat and other excrement potentially onto you. That's what he used. That is the word he used.
I thought he was a Norman Swan.
There are some joggers who have that issue.
Yes, but he said because they're breathing so deeply in and out that it does create almost like a vortex.
A vortex. Wow. As an asthmatic slow jogger, I love the idea of having my own personal vortex.
I think I need to listen to CoronaCast because, let me level with you. I've been doing the self-isolation thing for weeks. Yeah. I've been following social distancing. And I really believe in it. I believe we have to do this together.
It's working, right?
But when I drop into Woolies to get dinner or whatever... I don't see everyone else at Woolies as a potential carrier that I need to be wary of. Like, I'm kind of just like, we all don't have coronavirus. How good is that?
Heading in a naive little utopia during the grocery shop. Well, anyway, I think this one-way arrows is a great thing. I'm starting to roll it out in my home. And it's basically the arrows just go from the kids' bedrooms down the stairs and out the front door.
God, you're
It's working really well. Really well.
It's those two girls.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
Guys, we were so focused yesterday on the whole April Fool's Day being cancelled or not cancelled because of everything that's been going on. We kind of forgot about the whole pinch and a punch for the first of the month.
Well, rightly so, because you can't touch people now.
Well, that's a very, very good point, but you can still say it.
My Marcel Marceau, a little bit of social distancing.
You can still say it, though, and some people are obsessive and incredibly competitive about who gets to say it first.
Okay.
None other... then a New Zealand father and daughter duo. She's an actress and writer. Her name is Bridie. Her dad's name is Bryn. They have been locked in a pinch and a punch battle for the past 15 years. So she says that every month for the past decade and a half, essentially, it's the battle is on for who says it to the other first. And she said she can't even remember how it started. Some months are pretty low-key. They just say it and do it just regularly. Other months, it is like the ante is upped and they get incredibly creative. Let me read you this. She says, when I was 14, I was pulled out of school and sent to the principal's office. I thought I was in trouble. I arrived to find my dad waiting, ready to deliver the blow. Pinch and a punch, he yelled. My principal was very confused. Apparently, Dad had set up the appointment to talk about my grades.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so I love him.
Right? I love him too. She goes on to say, once I organised musicians to serenade him. He's pranked me on live radio. I've got a tour guide to say the magic words in the middle of a holiday tour. Like, they go all out. You can say it in a letter, in song, in person, however you want. But they are, it is a war between these two. The latest one, though, takes the cake. Bridie was on an international flight pre-corona and realised that it was the first of the month. And she was like, damn it. Okay, whatever. I'm up in the air. What am I going to do? I'll wait until I land and then I'll go get him. All of a sudden, a gentleman approaches her from the airline, up in the air. He's a hostie. And he says, excuse me, are you Bridie? And she's like, yes, hoping for an upgrade. She's like, oh, my God, this is my moment. Finally an upgrade. He hands her a letter. Yeah. She opens the letter and it says, hi, Bridie, it's Dad, pinch and a punch. He had arranged with Air New Zealand pre-flight to get this letter delivered to her just to win the battle. I mean, guys.
Oh, my God. My dad doesn't even turn FaceTime on his phone at the moment. Far out.
Is that not goals?
Yes, that
does
is.
That not make you want to start a pinch and a punch war with one of your children? I'm into it.
Because every 30 days, your opportunity
well, that's
swings
it. There,
around.
There are 12 Unity. Chances a year. So what's so they've been doing for 15 years.
15 years.
Give us some quick math. What's that, 180 chance? Is that right? 100 and no. Did math say? What?
I'm just going to let you suffer.
180. Well
oh,
done.
God, I can't believe I got it right.
Where's my little... Well done.
This is the bit that I love,
you,
though.
Scott.
She says her mother and brother think it's so immature and they're sick of it ruining holidays, but she said there is a yearly tally and there is a jury made up of the aunties.
Oh, my God. What are they because do?
So if they tie six all, they've got to find an actual outright winner.
Yeah, that's
for
right.
For creativity
that's
and
right.
points.
But I love how the aunties are like, this is their time to shine. Like, finally.
That's amazing. Those two girls. Long, hard days for our frontline healthcare workers at the moment. And, God, they must just be absolutely shattered when they rock up back home, hey?
Yeah, I think when there's no end in sight as well, you know, that's the fatigue would come from that as well, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, there's a story on Reddit that's gone viral, got more than 100,000 upvotes, and it's about a husband who's built a relaxing fort for his stressed out doctor wife. So let me paint the picture for you.
Like a wooden fort outside in a back?
No. So she would have walked into her lounge room after 13, 14, 16 hours on her feet and seen what he had created, a cozy sheet fort hooked across the television, a coat hanger, a ladder, and the couch. In the fort was a mattress, pillows, and some Christmas lights aww. To make it really cozy. He ordered her favourite takeout from a street food restaurant that's still doing delivery, and he lit a candle, and there was a note that said, "Your puppies and hubby are waiting to snuggle."
Oh.
Oh, what are you making? That makes me want to vomit. That whole story makes me want to spew.
Why, Sarah?
I mean, one, this makes me question my life choices with a partner, because I came home from work yesterday, my own seven-hour day, and Will said, "What's for lunch?" I said, I tell you what's for lunch. What's for whatever you can make with your own bare hands is what's for lunch. Where is my relaxing fort? Nowhere to be seen.
Have you ever in your adult woman life said to another adult, "What's for lunch?"
Never.
Have those words ever come out of your mouth?
Never. I mean, he did laugh, so he was being cheeky afterwards, which was forgiven.
You mentioned a ladder. Did he build it with a ladder?
She had to crawl under a ladder
well,
to get
no
into the
good.
Fort.
He's an idiot.
Well, that's right. I mean, and
that's
you know what?
Bad luck for
these
his poor
people
wife.
Are tired. Can you just let her get her scrubs off before she has to cuddle with you and the two massive German shepherds that you own in a play fort? And I'm not alone here because the internet is reacting as such too. Used to do stuff like this for my girlfriend who's a nurse. Didn't keep her from dumping me. But kudos to this guy. This one from a doctor. Long day. Glad to be home finally. Can't wait to just take my shoes. What in the actual frick did you do to the living room? Okay? And somebody... if my wife had come home after a hard day's work to see I'd built a fort in the living room, she would have kicked my ass off. Off. All right? All ruined by the bad luck that he forced upon her having to go under a ladder.
This is the bitter brigade. I'm sure that there's other comments on there that are beautiful and like, wow, how romantic. But Sarah's just chosen.
COVID will not ruin the romance.
This guy is nicer than me. When my wife gets home, I'm waiting in the garage with a hazmat bag for her clothes. Make her strip before she enters the house.
What happened? Who hurt you? Who hurt you?
Practicality.
Well, her husband asked for lunch, so that's what happened.
Yawn there from
Sarah. Wow, straight into the microphone muff.
Sorry.
You're going to have to Glenn 2020 that.
I can't believe it took them as long to get Joe Exotic under control as it did. He was
appalling.
The
thing is it's all about evidence, right? It's like they knew what he was doing or, you know, what his intentions were, but it's about finding the evidence
right.
to convict him.
Yeah, that last thing that the prosecutor said or what have you about, it's one thing
Yes.
It's what you had to find was not what he was saying publicly.
That's right.
He was doing behind the scenes.
That's right. And the proof of that, which is incredibly hard with those characters because they talk so much smack.
Oh.
Like he was saying those vile fit things on his YouTube TV channel.
He was talking
TV
about putting
channel.
Her head in a jar.
Yes, but that counts for nothing.
Oh, my God.
It's very interesting. Also, this spoiler alert, if you're still watching, maybe mute me right now, but I do have to get this out for those who have finished it. Travis.
Yeah.
Do you reckon he committed suicide or do you think it was a horrible gun accident?
Who was Travis again?
One of his gay husbands. Well, he wasn't gay.
Oh.
That tall, strapping young lad.
I don't 19
years old. Because if you go back to that episode.
Yeah.
And he's talking with his campaign manager at the time and they were saying he was notoriously irresponsible with guns. He was a gun-toting hooligan and he was always playing around. And they also said he was a meth addict.
Oh.
So some people are saying, was it suicide?
Yeah.
Others were saying he was just high on drugs and it was a horrible accident.
Oh,
he pulled the trigger and boom, he's actually dead. I didn't look too much into it,
but maybe.
It's like, was it a suicide or was it a horrific gun accident?
Well, who's the other husband who was getting that tat on his lower belly that didn't actually cover the initial tat? I was like, what? That's a terrible job. I can still see the words behind the massive bull head.
I know.
Try harder.
But they weren't even gay in the first place. This is like, it's like cult leader level. He was getting these young, vulnerable, drug-addicted teenage boys, essentially, 19 years old. And then even Joe's last names are reflective of their last names, like Maldoga. Joe's official last name were the two combined last names of his husbands.
Mm.
Maldoga, whatever. The whole thing, I almost feel like I do need to watch it again now that I know.
I missed all that. I must have tuned out at some points and just glazed over because it was so whack.
Yeah, his husbands. Yeah, so
did
his
you watch
legal
it all,
name.
Scotty? Have you watched
no,
it all?
No, I'm thinking about listening to the podcast, to be honest.
It is.
Yeah, I almost feel,
It is the ultimate distraction.
Yeah, Joe Exotic's real name is Joseph Maldonado Passage. Maldonado was Travis's last name,
right.
And Passage was his other husband. What is that other husband?
I don't know, Cletus.
It's definitely not Cletus.
Sorry, that was one of the lion's names, I think. Yeah, weird show. At some point it just became so convoluted, I think I was just stuck on Carol and whether she was innocent or guilty
of
killing her husband.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
I think she's innocent. I don't know. It's hard.
Dylan was the other husband.
Hard to get away, with a murder in this day and age.
She's pretty sus though. Like, I don't think she's pure
gold
either.
I don't know. I mean,
like,
she might play
at the
her.
End of the day, like, is she also running a zoo? Like, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, you know, at the very end of it said there are 5,000 to 10,000 tigers in captivity in America alone, and there are 4,000 tigers
endangered
in
their natural habitat.
Whoa.
Yeah. It is a massive, massive industry over there. It's
so
horrific.
This big cat act thing is.
They're bred, and then like that. Like he talks through the figures, which is from one tiger cub, he can make $100,000 from photos, cuddle experiences.
And there's this
Once they age out, what do they do with them? So that's one of the cover-ups is that one of the other zoo freaks in Florida who pretends to, he calls himself Doc Antle and he's a polygamist and it's just so weird. There's rumours that he gasses the baby cubs in a gas chamber that he has on site once they age out. So they profit from them. So 100,000 large on each. And then once they age out, well, then they're a liability. They're a bill to pay.
Wow.
Because to feed them, you can imagine.
Mm. Yeah, it's
very
interesting.
There's so many different sort of issues.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Then there's like the girl who had her arm ripped off by a tiger. And at the end of the show, she's like, Every one of these people claimed to be an animal advocate, and no animals benefited out of any of this.
She was the only, I mean, she was very pragmatic. She seemed fine with her arm being ripped off, which I don't quite understand.
I think that's because she was truly the only animal advocate. So she was like, well, whatever you need to do, tiger bro, eat my arm.
Yeah. Mm. She was kind of cool. Like, I like, what was her name? Staff or something. I mean, Ococcus.
As in infection.
Illococcus. Staff, middle name, Illo. Saff.
Probably Sapphire or something. But Staff is nice. It's got a nice ring.
That is really nice, like, isn't it?
Steph,
anyway, now
posh.
We've just rabbited on, and we hope that some people are still listening. Maybe we should do our own Joe Exotic podcast there.
Yeah. Wow. Nah.
So can people meet with their partners or not? I'm just looking at the telly.
This is really difficult.
Contentious, yeah.
But for us in Queensland...
We're fine, but
it's contentious here, but just a bit of news for you. The State Disaster Committee is meeting today to put out a list of clear guidelines, because right now it's really up in the air. But the thing that keeps being said, like the Queensland Police released this yesterday, they're like, you really have to understand this is about, like... Don't be stupid. So stop asking specific questions.
Yes.
And just think, would this be stupid or not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go.
Yeah. So if you're self-isolating and your partner's self-isolated, both working from home, and you pop around for a movie night, fine. But if your partner is a frontline worker in contact with people all day long and then you're popping over, you're putting yourself at risk.
It's another stretch to where you draw the line partner. So if I jump on Tinder today, meet someone, go hook up with them tonight, then tomorrow jump on Tinder again, meet a new
person.
We're
talking long-term relationships.
Who are living separately.
Draw that line.
So this wouldn't be like FIFO workers or anything like that, because you still have...
And it doesn't mean casual hookups. It means you're in a long relationship, but you both live separately. Anyway, convoluted.
Anyway, I'm pressing stop.
Yeah,
we'll see
let's go. Okay, bye. Let's go make a coffee.
Tickety-boo, off she goes home. That's it for today's Those Two Girls catch-up. But you can score even more catch-ups just like this one. Download the Hit app and keep up with the girls on Facebook and Instagram.